Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to Camo X. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker this evening. I'll be with you for another 2 hours going up to 1 a.m. this morning. So I want to say I appreciate you staying up late with us on this Veterans Day 2018. And one of the things that we're going to talk about, I've got several tributes that I'm going to play and discuss, and I'm going to tell some stories, and I did an interview with my father-in-law. We'll get to that as the hour unfolds. But also, if you are a veteran, or if you have some stories from your veteran relative, like I do, I am not a veteran, but my father served in the Army during the Korean War, and my father-in-law served in the Air Force during the Korean War. So I'm going to be relaying some stories from them as the hour unfolds. But if you're a veteran, if you'd like to call in and share some of your stories with us, we would love to hear it on Veterans Day. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. One of the best tributes that I've heard, and you know, every time there's a Veterans Day, we hear tributes and messages from various people. If you go on YouTube, you can find that Meghan McCain did a tribute to her father, the late John McCain, and there are certainly lots of tributes. But one of the tributes that I thought really encapsulated the ideas and the ideals of Veterans Day was from Master General Bruce Hackett. He's a general in the Army, and he gave a message just over the weekend trying to sum up what Veterans Day means from the perspective of someone who is an active participant. And certainly as a Master General or a Major General, he is obviously a current participant in our armed forces. But he tried to discuss and encapsulate what it means to be a veteran and what Veterans Day means to him. And this is what General Bruce Hackett had to say.
Greetings, I'm Major General Bruce Hackett, and I wanted to take a moment this Veterans Day to honor all the men and women who have nobly served our country in uniform throughout our history. It was a century ago in 1918, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, when the armistice that ended World War I was signed in France. I had the honor of traveling there this year to pay respect and reflect on the heroism and sacrifice of our uniformed heroes. In every generation, brave men and women have answered our nation's call, taking on the sacred responsibility of past generations and motivating future generations to carry on the fight. On this day and every day, we should celebrate them by telling their stories and helping those that need it. We must honor their commitment to protect freedom, liberty, and justice throughout the world, and we must honor our commitment to supporting them when they return home. To our veterans who have served, and to those still serving across the globe, thank you. Thank you for all you do and have done for our country, and for the many ways you continue to serve our communities and our nation. You are the living embodiment of the tradition and the promise that makes our nation great today and inspires us for the future. May God bless you. May God bless the great nation you have stepped forward to defend. The 80th Training Command only moves forward.
Thank you, Major General Bruce Hackett. And you know what occurred to me as he was talking about his Veterans Day tribute? This is what really occurred to me. Over the last 24 hours, we've seen that President Trump has gotten into a little bit of a spat with the French President Macron. And the spat is really focused on the following issue. I mean, we won't get into the whole "it's raining, so I can't go to the ceremony" bit, But the spat really revolves around this idea of being a nationalist or nationalism. And certainly there are folks out there who are white nationalists. Those folks hold reprehensible views, and I don't know any respectable person who would stand up for that. But simply stating that you want to put America first, President Macron has said that nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism. And he tried to link the idea of being a nationalist as being someone who is against the ideals of democracy. And if you listened to Major General Bruce Hackett, who just gave the Veterans Day message, he was talking about the service that those who have both served in the services and lived, and those who have served in the services and gave the ultimate sacrifice. Those people were advancing, whether they passed away or whether they've survived. But veterans have done that to advance the ideals of the United States of America. Now, to a large extent, those ideals have helped the world. Within the last, I don't know if you heard Charlie Brennan this morning, but he went through some statistics that even in the last 30 years, our planet has gone from 45 democracies to 128 democracies. We've gone from 2 billion people living in democracies 30 years ago to 4 billion people today that live in democracies. The ideals of Americanism have spread to the globe, and that's an advancement of American ideals. That's a nationalism type of view. And yet the world has benefited immensely from nationalistic views, meaning advancing American ideals, not advancing white nationalists. No one in a position of authority in America today is going to stand up and say they're for white nationalists because those views are reprehensible. But simply being a nationalist, meaning advancing the views of America, that benefits the planet. It has benefited France. It has benefited President Macron. And that's why it's patently ridiculous and absurd for him to mock the idea of advancing American ideals, because he's benefited from that. And how has he benefited from that? Well, Europe hasn't been at war since 1945, and the reason Europe has not been at war has been the United States of America. And so the countries like France and Germany and all of the countries of Europe, really, they can spend very little on defense issues because they know if Russia or the Soviet Union would invade, the United States would be the first to step up and protect the European homeland. And so they've indirectly and directly benefited from the advancement of American ideals, meaning democracy, meaning freedom, meaning the right to vote, the freedom of the press, freedom of religion, all of those American ideals have been advanced and championed by veterans. So one can say, well, I don't agree with what we were doing in Vietnam. I don't agree with that. But the idea being that those who were fighting in Vietnam were advancing American ideals. And the same is true for those who are in Korea. And so that's why when I hear those types of quotes from France President Macron, it's really irksome to me because he has been the direct beneficiary of the advancement of American ideals, and that's been primarily done by veterans. Veterans like you, or veterans like your father or your mother, veterans like your cousin or brother or sister, who many of times have given the ultimate sacrifice, for the advancement of those American ideals that I've just outlined. When we come back, though, I'm going to take a little different tack. I'm going to play a quote from you, or play a clip, rather, from a short interview I did with my father-in-law who served in Korea, because I want you to hear from someone who was there, and his voice isn't as strong as it used to be, and his words, his vocabulary isn't as verbose as it once was, but you can still hear in his voice that he's proud of the service that he did for the United States of America in the 1950s. So you'll hear from a member of the Air Force, Emil Kuba, when I interviewed him at his kitchen table over the weekend here on Camo Wax on Veterans Day. And if you'd like to comment, or if you'd like to share some of your own veteran stories, phone lines are open this hour at 314-436-7900 on Overnight America Camo Wax. We'll be right back.
Listen to KMOX in your car, on your radio.com app at work. Stay connected.
Brad Young, sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America. Thanks for staying up late with me this evening. And we're talking about Veterans Day. And before the break, I mentioned that I had a chance to chat with my father-in-law. He will be 90 years old in February. And so his voice isn't as strong as it used to be, and certainly his vocabulary isn't as extensive as it once was. But I want you to hear in my discussion with him at his own kitchen table that we had after church on Sunday. And we talked about him serving in Korea, and this is what he had to say.
Emil, you know, today is Veterans Day, and I wanted to talk to you. You're a veteran, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And where did you serve?
In Korea.
And what branch of the military were you in?
Air Force.
So there's an interesting story. You're in the Air Force, but how is it that you got to Korea? You went on a ship, didn't you?
I went on a ship, yes.
So they sent the Air Force to Korea on a ship, and I'm assuming they flew some Navy people over. Is that right?
Yes.
So in the wisdom of the military, we sent the Air Force by ship and the Navy by plane.
Right.
So what is it that you did when you were in Korea?
I was a...
You worked on a radar, didn't you?
Radar, yeah. Shoran. It's a unit that is obsolete, discontinued it after I got through over there. They replaced it with more
up-to-date radar.
Yes.
So that was one of the first radars, though, in Korea, wasn't it?
Yes.
And there was a story you always like to tell about warming. You could warm your hands with the radar?
Yes, warm my hands down there. It was in the wintertime, and the radar was warm my hands.
And if you had a candy bar in your pocket, what would happen to that?
It would be mush.
And isn't that what a microwave oven is a radar?
Yes.
So guys were basically then warming their hands with a microwave oven.
Yes.
How long were you in Korea?
About 6 months.
A little longer than that, wasn't it?
Yes, almost a year.
And you worked on the radar, and did you ever have to encounter any enemy soldiers?
Never. I was lucky that way. We were on an island 7 miles south of the 38th parallel. We could look over our shoulder and see the North Koreans' shoreline, but never saw any actual Koreans.
Wasn't there a story that you told where someone came into your camp one time?
There were some guys that came in, but they were not really North Koreans.
What would have happened? You always like to tell a story about if the North Koreans would have attacked your island. What was there any plan to come and rescue you, or what was that story you like to tell?
Plans were 28 hours. We were supposed to hold our island, hold the position for 24 hours. After that, then we could get out, retreat. But we had 24 hours. We had to stay there and hold our position.
You took an honor flight to Washington, D.C. recently, didn't you?
Yes. And was a great, great thrill.
Why was it a great thrill?
To see all the honors.
The other veterans?
Veterans, yes. All the other veterans, too. That went, about 40 of us went on a plane, and we flew there and were received with the water.
The water cannon from the fire trucks?
Yes, the fire trucks. It made it feel good.
So what did you do when you were in Washington, D.C.? You went to see some monuments, didn't you?
About 20 different monuments. I didn't realize there were how many were there. And they were all very well kept and very good looking.
And when you got back to St. Louis, I was at the airport when you landed in St. Louis.
Yes.
What was it like when you got off the plane and came in and saw the hundreds and hundreds, if not even maybe 1,000 people at the airport? What did it feel like to you to see all of those people who were there to honor you for your service?
That was a great thrill. I didn't realize that there'd be that many people would remember that what we had done. It was super.
What else do you remember about the honor flight?
They took care of us very well, almost like taking us by the hand and taking very good care of us.
Why did you think it was important? I know when you went to Korea, why did you think that was something important for you to do?
I knew that the Korean people were being oppressed and being to protect them and do the best we could to keep keep good control of militarily, keep them safe.
So you were willing to sacrifice yourself, literally put yourself on enemy lines because you weren't that far from North Korea.
7 miles.
You were 7 miles from North Korea. You were willing to do that for people that you didn't know that well and had never met.
And that's right. And thought, gee, what am I doing over here protecting these people? And they were very downtrodden and very poor people.
So with your experience of being in Korea, how do you think about people who are serving, our veterans who are serving like right now, people who are overseas in the armed forces who are serving? What is your view on them given your experience that you had in Korea?
It made me feel good to know that we were there protecting them and knowing that without us, they would be mincemeat for the enemy. They would be very poor.
So how does that translate to how you view people who are in the service right now serving our country as armed service members for the United States military?
I admire them for doing that, to protect them and keep them safe. And the Koreans have done a good job of taking their country and improving it. They've done a good job of making it a more volatile, a very good country now.
I've heard it said, actually, when we went to see the Korean Memorial in Washington, D.C. several years ago, there was an inscription on there that said that, on the Korean War Memorial, that said that freedom isn't free, it's paid with a price. What do you think of when you hear that quote?
I knew that I was part of the price to protecting them, and I was proud of having done it. It made me feel good to know that we had protected them. And they are doing well with that protection.
But it wasn't just that you were protecting the folks in Korea. I mean, if the communists in North Korea and the Chinese would have taken over the Korean Peninsula, they could have eventually made their way here then, couldn't they?
Yes, that's the one thing that we were protecting us from them. It made me feel good to know that we were doing good to keeping our country safe.
You know, for the longest time, the Korean War has been referred to as the Forgotten War. And I think that was certainly the case for a long time. Do you still feel that that's the case now, or have we kind of re-remembered the Korean War?
I think the people have remembered it now, knowing what has gone and what is going on now, that we did a good job of protecting them and keeping us safe.
Thank you for your service.
That was my father-in-law, Emil Kuba, and he will be 90 in February. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you a couple of the stories that he left out because he was kind of tired when I talked to him. And I'm also going to share a couple of stories with you from my father, who also served in Korea. If you've got some stories you would like to share, we would certainly welcome it. You can call in at any time. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. Thanks for sharing your Veterans Day with Camo X. We'll be right back.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Welcome back. KMOX Overnight America, Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. And I played a quote from my father-in-law, or an interview rather, from my father-in-law before the break. And he talked a little bit, and you know, his voice was stronger a couple of years ago. But one of the things that he told, and I've got to set this story up for you, because if I would describe my father-in-law to you, it would be this. If you've ever seen the movie Apollo 13, there's the part in the movie where the astronauts are stranded. There's been the explosion on Apollo 13. There's a question about whether they can get them home. And so what do? They go to a team full of guys in short sleeve white shirts with pocket protectors. That's my father-in-law, okay? In fact, he's such a nerd. He has, and we tease each other about this, he has a slide rule collection. Now, how nerdy do you have to be to have a slide rule collection? Now, engineers that come out of school today don't even know what a slide rule is. And yet, those guys who use slide rules are the ones that got us to the moon. So my father-in-law was an engineer. He designed the communication system for Skylab. So when Skylab went up, he designed the communication system. He also designed the communication system for, I think, one of the Gemini rockets in the 1960s that went into space. So he's a nerd's nerd, all right? And his job in Korea was to build and maintain the radar system. And you got to understand, radar was just brand new. It had just been invented at the very tail end of World War II. And so the guys who could build it and could fix it and repair it and keep it going were few and far between because it was brand new technology. It was cutting edge. It was bleeding edge technology. And he was working on it. And so we talked a little bit in the interview about the guys who had warmed their hands. And he used to be more, he would go into more detail about that story because it was fascinating that as cold, if you've ever seen MASH, you know that Korea was cold and guys were cold there. But they would go into where the radar, the housing unit of the radar, to get warm. And to me, in retrospect, it's crazy to think about it. It's no different than if you stuck your head in a microwave oven, because that's what a radar is. That's what a microwave is. It's radar technology. That's why the first microwave oven was called a radar range. And so whenever I was dating my father-in-law's daughter, and we eventually obviously got married, I would tease her and I would tease him that, well, you know, if you saw candy bars melting in your pockets, if you could get warm by being around the radar, why didn't you invent the microwave oven? And then your daughter could be rich and I could have married into a family fortune. And of course, then my wife's response was, well, if my father had invented the microwave oven and I was rich, I probably wouldn't have married you. And so then that's how that particular story ends. But he was literally the guy that you see in Apollo 13. And so when you think of a veteran, when you think of someone who's serving our country, you don't think of a guy in a short sleeve white shirt with a pocket protector as the kind of guy that protects our country. But those are the kind of guys. We talked to Scott earlier this evening. He was a cook on a ship. You don't have to carry a gun to be a veteran. You don't have to fire a cannon to advance the ideals of Americanism and democracy and freedom, because it takes all of those people to make that happen. You know, somebody's got to cook the food on a ship. Somebody has to fix the radar. And my father was in Korea. He served in Korea. He was in the army in Korea. And my father passed away in 2007. And one of the stories that he liked to tell is this, and I'll share this with you this evening. His job in the army was to fix guns. He was a gun repairman. He could build a gun. He could field strip a gun. He could put a gun together, rifles, shotguns, pistols. He could do all of that. And so his job in the army is if someone's gun malfunctioned, if it somehow broke while they were in the field, if it was damaged by shrapnel, whatever happened to the gun, then they would bring them back. And my dad was a couple of probably a mile or two off of the front lines, and so he was not fighting on the front lines of Korea, but he was fixing the guns that would break, and that was his job. And his favorite story to tell about being in Korea is this. He tells this story that one day he was there and somebody came in with a tank. And on this tank, there was a 50 caliber machine gun. Now, if you don't know much about weapons or guns, a 50 caliber machine gun, the bullet, so to speak, is about 8 inches long. So when I say it's a bullet, I don't want you to picture a small 22 or a 38 or even a 44. A 50 caliber shell is more like a cannon than it is like a bullet. And so in fact, a lot of ships that we have today, the main gun on the ship is a 50 caliber machine gun, because it's, again, more like a cannon than it is a rifle. So I don't want you to imagine a 22 that you would shoot a squirrel with. This is a large caliber, small cannon is what a 50 caliber machine gun is. And so one day, again, the guy comes in with a tank and he says his 50 caliber machine gun is malfunctioning. Now, in typical Army fashion, as my dad would tell the story, it took him about 10 minutes to fix it. But of course, it took him all day from the Army's perspective, because if he fixes it in 10 minutes, he would have to go work on something else. But if he stretches it the entire day, then that's his only project. So he would stretch this out, and once he got the machine gun fixed, he then told the commanding officer of his base that he needed a tank driver to take him out into the Korean countryside to test the 50 caliber machine gun to make sure that it was working properly. Now, my dad already knew that the gun was working properly because he fixed it, but he had to have someone to take him out to test it. Why? Because he wanted to fire a 50 caliber machine gun. That's why. So he had a tank driver driving him around, and he thought, well, I'm out here. What am I going to shoot? So he decided to hunt rabbits. Now, as my dad would tell the story, and it's not necessarily politically correct if you're a member of PETA, so let me apologize in advance if you're a PETA member. That's People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I'm a member of PETA, but the PETA that I'm a part of is People for the Eating of Tasty Animals. So he would go out, and he decided to go rabbit hunting with a 50 caliber machine gun to test it. And as my dad told the story, when you hit a rabbit with a 50 caliber round, there's nothing left but a puff of red fur and mist. And that's all that's left. There's nothing left of the rabbit. And so after he shot a couple of rabbits, he decided we've tested it enough and it was time to go back. Now, my dad told this story my entire childhood. After my dad passed away, I was going through his personal belongings and I found a photograph of him sitting behind the 50 caliber machine gun in the tank, and someone had taken a picture of him. And growing up, he never told me that there was a photograph of him behind that 50 caliber machine gun, but I did find it after he passed away in January of 2007. So, you say, well, you never fought on the front lines, but he fixed the guns that allowed the guys to go out and fight in Korea. And so I suspect that if we took a poll of folks who are veterans today, even though in our mind we picture, you know, guys carrying guns, we picture people in foxholes, we picture guys in tanks, and we picture infantry, or maybe even we picture Air Force people flying jets. But that's the small number of people who are in those positions. The vast majority of people are going to be in non-sexy positions. They're going to be cooks like Scott. They're going to be radar repairmen like my father-in-law. They're going to be gun repairmen like my father. But yet all of those veterans, all of you veterans, if you're a veteran here this evening, all of you work together to advance those ideals of Americanism. And that's why we say thank you. And that's why we say we appreciate your service. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back from this break, There's something that came up about Saturday Night Live right before the election. And what happened was Pete Davidson, if you've ever watched SNL, you'll know that Pete Davidson was dating Ariana Grande, like that matters in any way. But he said some stupid things about a guy named Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw, who was running for Congress from Texas. Dan Crenshaw is a Navy SEAL. He served 3 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. And in fact, he lost his right eye in service when an IED exploded while he was working as a Navy SEAL on the ground in Afghanistan. And nobody, Pete Davidson on SNL, decided to make fun of him 2 weeks ago. So this past Saturday, Pete Davidson was forced to apologize. And when we come back from this break, I want to play that clip for you, because not just because it kind of makes fun of Pete Davidson, but at the end of the clip, you get to hear a consensus between those two guys about what it means to be a veteran and how we should be thanking our veterans and why. So we'll play that when we come back from this break. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, particularly if you're a veteran, certainly phone lines are open, 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
History is being made, and you're hearing it here. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX, Brad Young, and we're on this Veterans Day. As I mentioned before the break, Pete Davidson was mocking this congressman. He was running for Congress, and he actually got elected from Texas. His name is Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw. And if you've seen him, you can Google him. He wears an eye patch, and no, he's not an attorney with the Brown & Brown law firm. But he does wear an eye patch, and he lost his eye in Afghanistan as a Navy SEAL. And Pete Davidson, the guy on one of the guys on SNL, I think is 15 minutes of fame or 14 minutes into it. And he mocked a veteran, and there was a lot of backlash about it. And so Pete Davidson had to apologize on SNL, and this is what he said.
Well, last week, Pete Davidson did a feature here on Weekend Update that caused some controversy. Here to set the record straight is Pete Davidson.
And what I'm sure was a huge shock for people who know me, I made a poor choice last week. I did. I made a joke about Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw. And on behalf of the show and myself, I apologize. Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw, everyone, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for making a Republican look good.
You gotta stop saying that, man. You've been saying it all day. Please. Look, I just wanted to say, for people that don't know, the reason you're wearing an eye patch right now is that you lost your eye to an IED in Afghanistan during your third combat tour. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you saying that.
So we good?
We're good. Apology accepted. Just keep breathing.
It sounds like my phone's ringing.
No, and I'm just going to let it ring because that's rude to answer. Let's just let it go to voicemail.
No, it's cool. Ariana Grande.
Well, cool, man. Yeah. But, oh, do you know her?
All right. So that's funny. All right. So last week I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do
Please.
That.
Please. All right.
Now, first impressions with Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw.
Thanks, Colin. This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on, one more. This is.
All right. All right.
He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Yeah, man. That's good. We should wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. No, this is fun. This is fun.
Cool.
He looks like Martin Short in the Santa Claus 3. By the way, one of these people was actually good on SNL.
No, you're right. No, you're not wrong.
Okay, but seriously, there's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other. This is Veterans Day weekend, which means that it's a good time for every American to connect with a veteran. Maybe say thanks for your service, but I would actually encourage you to say something else. Tell a veteran, never forget. When you say never forget to a veteran, you are implying that as an American, you are in it with them. Not separated by some imaginary barrier between civilians and veterans, but connected together as grateful fellow Americans who will never forget the sacrifices made by veterans past and present, and never forget those we lost on 9/11, heroes like Pete's father. So I'll just say, Pete, never forget.
Never forget. And that is from both of us.
So... The point, obviously, that was a funny bit, and it was funny to actually have the tables turned and have Pete Davidson on the receiving end of some mocking by Lieutenant Dan Crenshaw. But the point is that after the mocking was done, there was a good opportunity there for Dan Crenshaw to talk about never forget, to talk about what it means to thank people who are in the service. And I have my cousin who was in the Army in Vietnam, and he was in the intelligence branch of the Army. And so he was, again, not someone that you would typically think of as being on the front lines in Vietnam, but he was, and he served his country in Vietnam, and he came home, and I've talked to him even recently about his time in Vietnam, and I like to ask questions. That's the way I'm an attorney, and we ask questions all the time in depositions and trial and so forth. And so I would ask him a lot of questions, and I was doing it to get him to talk because it's interesting to hear someone's life experience, especially when it's something, there's a term called an inflection point, and that means that's a time when decisions are made that can affect the rest of your life. And they certainly did for a lot of folks who served in the military, some who came home and had PTSD or came home and were wounded or came home without a leg or even worse. And so I would ask him questions about his service in Vietnam, and sometimes he would say, you know what, I really don't want to talk about it. It's too painful for me to discuss. And so, of course, I would back off. I didn't serve in the military, and I don't have that experience and certainly don't have that trauma associated with that. But he did. And so I know that in the sound of my voice, there are people who are listening this evening who had experiences in Vietnam or Korea or even elsewhere. It could have even been not in a particular battle or war, but just in service in general, who really don't want to talk about it because it is traumatic, or you have nightmares about things that you encountered. Those are the sacrifices that people made. And so I don't think that we, in years past, took Veterans Day seriously. I know when I was a kid, it was just a day that we got off school a lot of times. It wasn't something that was important. And yet when I got older and realized the gravity of what people sacrificed to go to the service, it certainly became a holiday that was much more meaningful. And even in the years since 9/11, I think we've seen, even though the unity that we had as a country after 9/11 didn't last all that long, I certainly would have liked it to have lasted longer. But since then, though, there is a respect for veterans. There is an acknowledgement of people who sacrifice for our country and the value that that has. And so I'm glad, I'm thrilled, actually, that we do have that sense of importance now about Veterans Day. One of the things that was mentioned in my father-in-law's interview was that he went on an honor flight a while back. He went to Washington, D.C., and what he didn't know when he left, my wife went with him, and she pushed him in a wheelchair. He can walk with a walker, but all of the veterans who go on honor flights use wheelchairs. Not necessarily because they have to, but because it's a long day. I mean, they leave at 4 o'clock in the morning from the airport and they don't get home until 9 o'clock at night. It's a long day for anyone. And it's particularly a long day if you're in your 80s. And so they have them in wheelchairs and they push them around. And if you've never had an opportunity to go on an honor flight or to be a part of one, they take them around to the monuments in Washington, D.C. And one of the things they do when they take off and land is that they have the fire trucks out there on the tarmac shooting water cannons over the plane. And so the plane literally goes through like an honor guard procession of water from the water cannons from the firefighters to say, thank you for your service. But the coolest part is when they land, because the service members don't know what's waiting for them when they get back home. And they just think they're going to come home and then it's time to go home. And yet when they land and come into the Lambert Field, there was, at least the year that I was there with my father-in-law, there was close to 1,000 people who were there waving flags and cheering them when they came on to say, thank you for what you did for our country. And it was breathtaking. It was a moving moment to be a part of that. I invited friends and relatives and folks from our church, and there were folks who came who didn't know anyone there. They just came to say thank you to folks who sacrificed and to gave up part of their lives to go and to protect our country and to advance our ideals. If you haven't had a chance to take part in an honor flight, I would certainly encourage you to do so. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about other things that are interesting from the perspective of the recent election. Brad Young on Overnight America on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.